So did the markets end up coming down to just a phone call? Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Joining me today is Jeff Peterson. Jeff is with Heartland Farm Partners. And you know, Jeff, this morning the market was all abuzz about this 8:30 phone call between two presidents where a lot is hanging on the line, and that's soybeans. But soybeans wasn't supposed to be a part of today's conversation.
No, it really wasn't, but I think everybody was very hopeful that it was going to be. And, you know, right in there amongst the peak when they were getting to a point where they thought there might be something said about it, or at least that would be a chance of coming up in the discussion about soybeans. We had, you know, November soybeans up about 10 cents. And then once the market went ahead and found out that, well, you know, not only was there not a final deal done on TikTok, which that got made progress, right, but moving down the road yet, but there wasn't any discussion about soybeans or anything from the ag side for that matter, then beans started to gradually pull back. And, you know, as we sit right now, we're setting, you know, down about 13 cents a bushel on the November beans. So that was interesting to watch the trade. And you're exactly right, how that phone call influenced trade today.
Especially, you know, when we start to see harvest pressure building in and the big concern about where are these beans going to go at this point?
It really is. You know, we're fortunate here in Nebraska. If we were up in North Dakota, it's an even bigger deal. We know a lot of those beans end up going west, and then hopefully they'd hit a, you know, they'd hit export sales that would have been going to China. But, you know, there has been some sales that have been made. Other sales have been made, not going to China. So it's not that we don't have any sales on the books. The fortunate thing here in Nebraska is that we do have a lot of truck crush capacity. If you're sitting here in Nebraska, that's good. But in other states, not as much. You know, what we don't know yet is on how these yields are going to end up turning out here. But we know at this point yet, we know ending stocks are tight enough yet. But I think the big concern on that bean market is, but what if China doesn't show up in here? And, you know, they did show up in 2018. They did show up in 2019. But what if they don't show up this year? And then what could that mean for, you know, U.S. ending stocks?
Well, the Canadian Prime Minister was on the road this week down in Mexico having some conversations, kind of bypassing a little bit of U.S. discussion in it all.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It was interesting to see the Prime Minister Carney, you know, going down to Mexico. And I think what it's showing, that's the first time, at least what I've seen in about 8 years, that we've seen that happen. And, you know, as it looks like the USMCA agreement is going to be, you know, renegotiated and looked at, here in 2026, I definitely think Canada and Mexico really wanted to come together and have a chance to have some discussions to bring together a united front to that discussion. I'm sure also within those discussions are talking about the current situation, you know, with tariffs and where everything's at in the trade negotiations with the U.S. So, no, it's definitely something we have to continue to watch. We know that both Canada and Mexico are two extremely important trading partners of ours.
So what are you hearing when it comes to yields right now? I mean, right now, as you and I are talking, I hear a combine in the field right next to me. So what's going on?
Yeah, and that's the big thing that the market's watching very closely. So if you kind of think about how things have progressed in here, if you go back to the first few days of August and leading up to really the August WASDE report, you know, everybody was feeling really pretty good about this crop out there. And we really heard that from our customers, you know, all across the Corn Belt. But then really that's kind of when rain shut off, and even a little bit before that in the Eastern Corn Belt. And then that's also we started hearing more, especially as Pro Farmer Tour went through, we started hearing more about, you know, the Southern Rust. And I think that's the stage we're kind of at right now, Susan, is we're trying to feel out, okay, the dryness in the Eastern Corn Belt, the Southern Rust that we're seeing in parts of, you know, Iowa, or actually probably almost all of Iowa, and then also over into Nebraska. But there's also Southern Rust showing up in Illinois and Indiana also. Well, what impact is that having on the yield? So we're starting to see some of those first yields. We know we have to be very careful with those first yields because we know that that's going to be some of the worst crop that's going to be harvested because it probably did shut down prematurely. Some of the things we are hearing of some of our customers here in Nebraska and also Iowa is a general rule, I'd say, on untreated farms so far. You know, you're probably off 20 to 70 bushels the acre from last year on stuff that's not treated. And on stuff that was treated, I would say we're probably still off 10 to 15 bushels the acre. Had a conversation earlier today with a farmer in northeast Nebraska, and we're just talking about the yields. And what he was finding up there is he goes, he was a little disappointed as he got in, was doing some wet corn on dry land. Kind of thought the yields would be really good this year because of the fact that we ended up having so much moisture up there. But what he ended up finding is probably only, you know, probably 3 or 4% better than last year. And a lot of that, I think, would be attributed back to some of it was southern rust, but that was stuff that was sprayed. But I think some of it also got to do with the fact that there were some periods of time in there where we weren't just getting the amount of sunshine that we really needed. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see. And the markets get very interested. We've got just the opposite situation on the soybean side. Western Corn Belt, I think, could have some very good yields. The pod counts really do support that. Eastern Corn Belt's going to be very disappointing, I think, because of the extreme dry conditions that we ended up having to finish off their beans. I think the pod counts were very strong, which we heard from the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, but I think in the East, they just didn't have a chance to fully mature. So as we go along, we're going to have to watch those yields really close, because that's what the market's wrestling with probably right now.
You know, and Jeff, when you look at the latest drought monitor that came out on Thursday, it just reiterates the concerns that you just shared with us for the Eastern Corn Belt.
Well, you're exactly right. And as you take a look at parts of Illinois, I know I was talking to a friend of mine that would be north and east of Quincy, Illinois, and he was saying, you know, it's been 6 to 7 weeks since they've had much moisture. And, you know, what impact that has on the crops. We had a crop that had just a ton of potential, and we just have not been able to bring it home at this point.
So speaking of crops, South America, Jeff, right now is in the process of getting that spring crop in the ground, getting a little bit of moisture in some areas. But what are you hearing from full weather forecasts?
Yeah, I think, you know, what it looks like is we're going to come in. It's going to be in a, you know, kind of a weaker La Nina setup. As a result, you've got a little bit better condition, you know, at least so far have happened in the southern part of Brazil. Rains are still waiting to develop in the northern part of Brazil. As a result, the, you know, the first crop, corn crop, is probably sitting as of today, probably pushing 15% planted. On the bean side, they're really just getting a good start. Last numbers we'd had from Ag Rural, which would have went back to, I think, this past Thursday, would have showed them probably, you know, maybe 0.3 to 0.5%. So maybe now planted. So maybe now across, you know, all of Brazil, maybe they're 1%, 1.5% planted at this stage. But it does look like there are going to be some better rains that are going to come into Mato Grosso. So, you know, it doesn't look like we're going to see a repeat of what we ended up having last year. Last year, if I remember, with just some extremely dry conditions that pushed all the way out into October.
And finally, moving forward, what do you think we need to keep an eye on?
I think the biggest thing to watch going forward here, we want to continue to watch and see if we can come up with any type of trade deal with China. We really need them in the marketplace to show up at some point in here if we're going to continue to move the soybean market higher. I know that we'll physically pick up some additional demand because we're very competitive on the bean price, combination of where our basis levels are at, but also ultimately where the U.S. dollar's at makes us very competitive out there in the world market. But we, in addition, need to watch these yields very closely and also watch that South American weather are going to be some of the keys going forward.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks so much, Jeff. Jeff Peterson with Heartland Farm Partners joining us for the Friday market wrap-up. And a quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. And that is the market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.